HealingPowerHour.com.
This episode of Healing Power Hour Radio is sponsored by Natural Hair Creations by Samaya, located only 5 minutes south of downtown Atlanta, specializing in all your natural hair care needs. Whether you have locks, twists, or other unique natural hairstyles, Samaya is your natural hair care specialist. For a free consultation or to schedule your appointment, call 404-226-5429. That's 404-226-5429. 5429 Natural Hair Creations by Samaya.
I'm scared,
tuned to Healing Power Hour Radio with your host, Dr. Akila L.
Everyone, this is Healing Power Hour Radio, and this is your host, with the most, Dr. Akila, doing another broadcast very, very late at night. Hey, I had postponed this show 4 times, so I think those who have been trying to follow it, you know, the best thing to do is just wait until it's broadcast and I upload it to the website, and then you'll be able to do it. Because doing it live, I'm so unpredictable. Plus, my schedule is so unpredictable. So, at least I'm doing it right now. Hello, everyone. And welcome to the show. We're going to have a great show today. Today is episode 19. High Blood Pressure and Cholesterol 101. It's going to be a great show, very informative. You're going to learn a lot. But before I begin, let me go ahead and wish upon you blessings of peace, love, health, happiness, and prosperity. Now, today, we're going to do a very good show on the cause, cures, and prevention of high blood pressure and cholesterol. I can't wait to share with you an experiment I did on myself. Yeah, I'm always doing these crazy things. I got sick in the process of doing it, too. But it's going to be something you're going to really, really love to hear in reference to cholesterol. Because I have some very exciting news and some shocking news in reference to cholesterol. But before I begin, I gotta talk about today's news. Today is October the 1st, by the way, 2009, and the Associated Press had released a statement stating that the coroner for Michael Jackson stated that he was a healthy man despite appearances. He was a healthy man despite appearance. Now, everybody's talking about that, like, wow, Michael Jackson was healthy, and I'm saying to myself and to them, no, he wasn't. and then I had to think about it. Healthy according to what standards? And healthy according to who? Is he healthy according to black men of the age 50? Of the average black man, let me just say this, is he healthy according to the average black man of his age? Okay? Is he healthy, quote, and I gotta say healthy, quote unquote, because Michael Jackson wasn't healthy, and I'm gonna tell you why. I'm gonna tell you, to prove to you he wasn't. was he healthy, based upon American standards? And let me tell you something. When it comes to health, America sucks. We have a very low standard in what we consider healthy. I guess if you are not, if you don't have one foot in the grave, you're considered healthy. And when I was talking, to the people at my gym, I always got a story about my gym, don't I? And when I talked to the people at my gym, I said, wait, this man has been on painkillers most of his life. You can't be on medication and consider yourself healthy. People who are on medication are not healthy. Sorry. I'm sorry to tell you this. If you're healthy, you don't need medication. But understand that the side effects to the pharmaceutical drugs make you more unhealthy. It just really deteriorates your health even more. And first of all, he was on pharmaceutical drugs that were prescribed to him. Some of the pharmaceutical drugs were illegal. Some were not illegal. And when I say illegal, meaning that he was unlawfully taking some pharmaceutical drugs that he was not supposed to be taking. That his assigned, I guess the man who is under indictment now for his homicide, it's charged with homicide because they consider this whole thing a murder case, has wrongfully prescribed him or administered painkillers or sedatives. I don't really know the whole 411 about the whole criminal case to this. I do know that Michael Jackson was on lots of painkillers. I had a list of it somewhere on my file, and I just really couldn't. I had to look up all the side effects. See, when I hear about somebody on pharmaceutical drugs, I'm not interested in the drug. I'm interested in the side effects of the drug. So I was just basically looking up all of the side effects of those drugs, and oh, good Lord, you know, it was just tons and tons and tons of it, okay? But listen, they say, now I want to read to you word for word of this article from the Associated Press, and it's going to report on that the autopsy report reveals that Michael Jackson was in fact a healthy. I can't even finish this sentence without laughing, and I'm not laughing as a disrespect to Michael in the spiritual world. I do believe we have lost a very talented person. There are a lot of things he did that I didn't agree with, and it has nothing to do with the molestation case that he was charged. I'm really against a lot of the surgeries that he had on his face and body and just a lot of things that he had to undergo to make his appearance that unlike those of African descent. So anyway, the Associated Press says, an autopsy report reveals Michael Jackson was in fact a healthy man despite his appearance, reports the Associated Press. A Los Angeles County coroner reports revealed that while the 50-year-old arms were covered with scars and puncture wounds, and his eyebrows and lips were tattooed, Jackson had a strong heart at the time of his death, and all major organs were normal. However, arthritis in his lower spine and fingers and mild plaque buildup in his legs, arteries, were of major concern. Okay, so they just told you, they just contradicted themselves. They said that the coroner stated that he was a healthy man despite his appearance. Then he goes on to say, well, you know, he did have a lot of scars. He did have a lot of punctured wounds from needles. Oh, by the way, he had arthritis in his lower spine as well as his fingers and mild plaque buildup in the arteries of his legs. That's not healthy. See, this is why I don't deal with the news. It's so contradictory. It's, you know, they say one thing and then they do another. And it's just, I never believe the hype. But I also count on my common sense, because anybody with common sense can look at Michael Jackson and know that this man is not only is he not mentally or emotionally healthy, but he's not physically healthy either. You can't do all that to yourself. And anytime someone of African descent can't go into the sun without an umbrella or without being covered from head to toe, you're not healthy. So I just a lot of people want to know how I think and how I deal with news, and I don't really deal with it. But when I'm put in a position where there's some things told to me that just doesn't make sense, I question it. But then I also use my logic, because when people saw the report that's on TV, where on CNN, where the broadcaster said, coroner reports state that Michael Jackson was in fact a healthy man. And everybody was like, really? And I'm the only one saying that's not true. I just don't subscribe to craziness when we all know that he's on pharmaceutical drugs, and people who are on pharmaceutical drugs are just not healthy. That's just it. And I know the doctors want you to think, you know, you're on high blood pressure medication, but you're healthy. No. If you're healthy, you do not need high blood pressure medication. If you're on cholesterol medication, if you're healthy, you would not have high cholesterol. If you're healthy, you would not have high blood pressure. If you're healthy, you would not need pain medicine, because you would not have any pain. And this is the world I would like you all to live in. This is heaven right here. You don't necessarily have to die to experience heaven. Heaven is being healthy, living pain-free. You don't have to worry about being on pharmaceutical drugs for the rest of your life, which is nonsense. And I do believe that you, if you concentrate on your health, you can be drug-free, which is, in another term, pharmaceutical prescription or pharmaceutical medication-free. It's still drugs, but these are legal drugs, which are known as medication. So I just wanted to bring that out to you all, because that was just, I left the gym earlier today, and I just saw this, and it was on my mind, and I said, I've got to talk about this. This is something just crazy. Anyway, let's go ahead and talk about cholesterol first, before we get to high blood pressure. First of all, a lot of people want to know what is the good numbers for cholesterol, what are bad numbers for cholesterol, is LDL bad or good cholesterol. We're going to break down the basics for you, and then I'm going to tell you some amazing news. For those of you who are on cholesterol medication, well, personally, in my opinion, if I was on cholesterol medication, I would stop it right now. It really causes a lot of problems, a lot of side effects. And it doesn't necessarily lower the cholesterol. You see, there's some people who have been on cholesterol medication for 5 years. And really, you can lower your cholesterol strictly by diet and exercise. I don't care what the commercials say, because you'll see the pharmaceutical commercial says, if diet and exercise is not enough, then try blah, 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 which will lower your cholesterol. No. If you are doing your eating regimen correctly, meaning that you are abstaining from certain foods that will raise the cholesterol, and you're eating more healthy live foods as well as exercise, Because just because you take a 30-minute walk once a week, that's not really considered exercising, in my opinion. And that's not going to do anything for your cholesterol level, diabetes, or your high blood pressure. You have to be serious about it. So I'm talking about if you do a minimum of 3 days a week, from 30 minutes to an hour, and that's really basic. I mean, if it was up to me, people would do it 5 days a week. But in reality, you know, just to be fair, you only need 3 days a week, 30 minutes to an hour. You don't need to do anything high intense like aerobics or, you know, sprinting or running or things like that. You could do speed walking, and I would like people to get into speed walking or ride your bike or jump on a trampoline, which is really good for your lymphatics. So anyway, cholesterol is really not hard to control. It's just all in your diet and exercise, diet and exercise. You guys, don't I sound like a broken record by now? Diet and exercise, diet and exercise. You just can't get around it. I don't care what kind of magic pill they make in the labs. It will not take care of that cholesterol for good besides diet and exercise. So let's go into cholesterol. What is considered bad cholesterol and what is considered good cholesterol? Well, let me tell you. You have two numbers that are added together, which will give you a reading of good, borderline, and high. Let's talk about those first. LDL cholesterol is bad cholesterol, okay? Let me say that again. LDL cholesterol is bad cholesterol. Now, the levels, and if you guys are listening, you might want to take notes to this too. If your LDL is between 100 to 129, that's considered a good range for the LDL, which is the bad cholesterol. But if your LDL is between 130 to 159, that's considered borderline high, okay? So 130, anything between anything 130 and 149, between those two numbers, is considered borderline high for LDL bad cholesterol. And anything 160 and above, which is usually 160 to 189, is considered high. So 160 and above is high for that LDL cholesterol, which is the bad cholesterol. The good cholesterol, which is the HDL, which is good. You know how I can remember this? HDL, anytime I see H, I take that H and pretend it's healthy. So when I see the HDL, I'll say, okay, I can remember which cholesterol is the good cholesterol because HDL in my head is healthy because it begins with the H, so I'm going to be using that H for healthy. It doesn't mean healthy, but I'm just going to say that's the way I can remember. So HDL is healthy cholesterol, okay? So this is the good cholesterol. Now, a good level for your HDL cholesterol is anything that's 60 and above, okay? 60 and above is considered good levels. If you are dealing with anything, let's see, it says from 39 to 59 is so-so. It's so-so good. And if you have points, if it's 40 and lower, then you're at a serious risk factor for developing heart disease. So if your healthy cholesterol, and what's healthy cholesterol? HDL, if it's 40 and under, you're in trouble because your good cholesterol is too low, okay? Now, what the doctors, what they do is that they take your LDL reading and they add it to your HDL reading. And then that's how they get the overall score to determine whether you have high cholesterol or not. So when they combine those two together, anything under 200 is considered good cholesterol. So if they add your LDL and your HDL and they come up with 195, you're in a good, you got a good reading for your cholesterol. Your cholesterol reading is good. Anything between 200 and 239 is considered borderline high. Once again, anything from 200 to 239 is borderline high for cholesterol. And a lot of times, if you allow them to do this to you, because I always tell people, stop letting these people, these doctors, treat you like children, okay? And just because, let's say, for instance, if your blood pressure, I mean, your cholesterol is reading 220, and that's borderline, the doctors will be quick to put you on medication. And if you're at borderline, that means you have a chance to really, you have a far better chance of getting there sooner to the good level than someone who's high. So don't be quick to take drugs. Don't be quick to jump on the pharmaceutical drugs. You guys need to look up the side effects to these cholesterol medications. Okay, anything 240 and above is considered high. So when they add your LDL and your HDL cholesterol, if it comes to 240 and above, then you have high cholesterol. And a lot of times, the high cholesterol comes from a high level of LDL, okay? So let's say, for instance, you're at a borderline of 150, okay? And then you have good cholesterol, which is 60. Well, that's going to give you 210, which is going to put you in borderline, okay? You see what I'm saying here? So you're going to have a borderline level of cholesterol, which is going to put you at risk for them to prescribe you pharmaceutical drugs. Now, sometimes your doctor will test for triglycerides, and if you have a triglyceride that's under 150, then that triglyceride is pretty low. If it's 150 and above, it is high. And triglycerides are very dangerous in that level when you have high, when it's that high. This will cause heart attacks, strokes, oh my gosh, I mean, I can go on and on, heart disease, you know, all kinds of problems, can occur when you have high triglyceride readings. And all of this stems from the diet. Now, let's talk about the cause, okay? We all hear about not eating foods that are high in saturated fats and not eating this much pork and that much beef, which I'm against those anyway, so you shouldn't be eating that, and fried foods and, you know, fatty foods is all greasy. Yeah. True, those foods will raise the cholesterol. And people who are heavy cow eaters or pig eaters, you know, their cholesterol will go up there. But there was I went to a seminar, which was very educational. It's a health seminar for naturopathics like myself that was teaching on certain type of methods to help those who refuse to get off their cholesterol medication. For those who refuse to get off their medication, there was a protocol that it was teaching us to abide by to help the doctor to wean them off their cholesterol once the reading got there. And it's something very important for naturopathics because we encounter people who are just dead set against not taking their cells off of the medication. Even though cholesterol, I mean, you know, it's really something that you can just cold turkey if you don't want to take it anymore. And legally, I'm not telling you to do that. You know, that's why we have a disclaimer here. But I'm just saying that, you know, if we have on occasions, and I do get those people on occasions, they usually are elders. People who are in their 70s who had their doctors for the last 25 years and they're so loyal to them, even though that doctor been killing them and have them on a whole grocery bag full of pharmaceuticals, you can't tell them nothing because they are so loyal to that doctor. These are the people that this seminar was for. And it was told to us that sugar raises cholesterol way more than eating foods high in saturated fats. And I was blown away. I was saying to myself, what? All this time I'm under the assumption that it was only fatty foods, saturated fats, food and high in saturated fats, your bad fats, that was the only cause to raise the cholesterol level, and come to find out that sugar raises the cholesterol higher than bad fats in your food. Now, I didn't believe this. I said to myself, that just doesn't sound right to me. You're going to be in my lodging. So what did I do? I decided to put it to the test myself. And what I did was I had a doctor friend of mine take my cholesterol read. Let me see if I can find this. Okay, I got the numbers. Here we go. We took my blood, okay? And my, this was in, right now we're in October. And September, I think in the middle of July. In the middle of July, I got the test readings back. And I decided that I was going to, because my cholesterol levels were, they were extremely good. My LDL was 85 and my HDL was 90, which gave me the total reading of 175. So, excuse me, my HDL reading was higher, which is my HDL is my good fat. My good cholesterol was higher, about 5 points higher than the LDL. So the LDL was 85, my HDL was 90, which gave me a reading of 175, which is below 200, which means I'm in a good range, okay? So remember this now. At the beginning of the experiment, I'm at 175 for my cholesterol reading. Now, after that, for six weeks, I started eating, and it took a while for me to make myself eat this because this was just not my normal diet. But I made sure I ate lots of chocolate, a lot of pastries, cookies. Oh my God, I had Chips Ahoy cookies. I ate a whole bag by myself. Hey, anything for experimenting, anything to experiment. I'm doing it for you guys, okay? I ate all those cookies for you. Anyway, for 6 weeks, I really did a lot of sugary snacks, soy ice cream, cakes. Loved the cakes. Did a lot of cakes. A lot of cakes with soy ice cream on it. Did a lot of sugary drinks, like, what did I do? I didn't do any Cokes because I can't deal with that. I think I did ginger ale. Oh, the Arizona teas, those Arizona, like those mango stuff that had high fructose corn syrup in it. Yeah, I drank those. I sure did. I had, actually, there's several of them. There are several of them. There's one is mango. There's one is lemon lime. There's a couple of them that is peppermint with lemon. I had those, some ginger ale. I was doing a lot. The Nestle lemonade, which also had high fructose corn syrup in it. So if you get the picture, because I don't have a diet, as a vegetarian, I don't have a diet that will cause me to have foods that are, let me take that back. As a vegetable eating vegetarian, because you do have some vegetarians who eat a lot of junk. And even though I had upped my sugar intake big time, I still ate my live salad, my salad with my vegetables. I always had my okra stew. I love okra. Brussels sprouts. So I had all those vegetables. And, of course, my fruit smoothie. I always did my fruit smoothie in the morning. So I did those. And in addition to upping the sweets intake. And so I got sick the fifth week. The fifth week of doing all that to my body, I was just out of it. I was on, flat on my back, sick as a dog. And I said, I can't do this anymore. My body is like, hey, enough is enough. I know you're doing this for your clients to see if this stuff really works, but we're going to stop right now. And I think for 2 days I was out of commission. I couldn't do anything. I had flu-like symptoms. I was going through a healing crisis, so I had to detox my body. So, of course, I took my own blood cleanser as well as Dr. Aquila Detox to get my body back into you know, shape where I can function again, because I had to cancel some appointments because of that. And then I just didn't go back to, I just went back to eating normally, which is not foods that are high in those sugars, okay? Now, this is what happened. I went and got the sixth week, I went and got my blood reading again. I had got my blood drawn. And remarkably, this is what the cholesterol reading stated. Now, before doing those sugary foods, my LDL was 85. After 5 weeks of upping my sugar intake, because remember, before then I only ate sugar, and when I say sugar, I mean high fructose food that had high fructose corn syrup or food that had white sugar or any kind of sugar in it. I only did it like once a week, if that. Once a week, if that. So I'm not a sugar person. Ever since I got yeast out of my system, I'm not really much of a sugar person. So the LDL was 85 before the sugar intake. 5 weeks after the sugar intake, my LDL was 120. That meant it went up 35 points. My HDL before the testing was 90. 90. 90. When I, 5 weeks after having a sugar intake, it was 70. 70. 70! I dropped 20 points. So when I was at 90 with my HDL before the testing, I was at 70. I dropped 20 points. Now, the grand total, the total cholesterol reading for my cholesterol before I did this experiment, it was 175. After the 5 weeks of the sugar intake, it was 190. Granted, that's still in a, it's still considered quote unquote good by the medical profession standards. But look how much my cholesterol reading escalated with only 5 weeks of sugar intake. So my professors and the people who were doing the seminars were right. Sugar does raise cholesterol. And so with me not eating saturated fats, I refuse to go there. But here I am doing a sugar intake, you know, what you consider sugar intake is I will have desserts or I will snack with sugar, candy, cookies, or I have some kind of pies or cakes for dessert, and it went up from 170 to 190. And when you have people, this is going to naturopaths who are listening to me, when you have these clients who state, I exercise, I don't even eat pork and beef, I don't eat fried foods, I eat salads, and my cholesterol is still high, You need to ask them to tell you their sugar intake, and you will be surprised. And if the sugar intake is not limited to food, it's also limited to drinks, because foods that are high in drinks that contain high fructose corn syrup, as well as food. There are foods that have high fructose corn syrup in it. This will elevate the cholesterol big time. So take that in consideration. Okay, let me do a couple of drops, and I'll be right back. We're going to conclude the cholesterol, and then we'll go into high blood pressure. Okay? All right, we'll be back in about 1 minute.
This is Healing Power Hour Radio with your host, Dr. Akilah L. To listen to other archive radio shows full of health tips, holistic advice, and other natural remedies, check out our website at healingpowerhour.com. That's healingpowerhour.com. While you're there, feel free to sign up for our monthly newsletter and check out our list of educational videos. Have a health topic you would like us to discuss on the air? Tell us all about it by giving us a call at 770-603-0141 or go to our website to fill out our suggestion form. We look forward to hearing from you. HealingPowerHour.com. Celestial Healing Wellness Center, providing holistic health care all across the world. Our website is full of information from herbology, personal training, fitness, nutrition, massage therapy, herbal remedies, and a whole lot more. Check out our free health tips or even sign up for our monthly newsletter. Our website address is www.healingpowerhour.com. That's healingpowerhour.com, or give us a call at 770-603-0141.
And we are back to Healing Power Hour Radio. This is Dr. Keela, and thank you for joining me on episode 19, which is High Blood Pressure and Cholesterol, the Cause, Cures, and Preventions of High Blood Pressure and Cholesterol. So I'm going to conclude on the cholesterol now. If you are suffering from high cholesterol, the chances are you are not exercising, you are not drinking your water, you are not abstaining from high saturated foods that are high in saturated fats. The foods that are very, very good for you, which will help lower, no, this is going to lower blood pressure. Excuse me, I'm confusing my notes. Fiber foods will lower the cholesterol, so you have stuff like oatmeal, corn grits, whole wheat, those kind of things like that will lower your cholesterol. But if you get, let's say for instance you get a loaf of bread that's 100% stone ground whole wheat, but you just put a whole bunch of margarine and slap a whole bunch of jelly on top, well, you just defeated the purpose. So it doesn't work that way. So be mindful of the foods that you intake. And sugar, if you want to lower your cholesterol, eliminate sugar out of your diet. I know that's easily said than done. That's why you need to call me and set up an appointment for either a full consultation or a in-person consultation so that I can teach you the methods and tell you what you need to do. So since you can't do it on your own, because I'll help you out, trust me. I have a high success rate with that. Okay, so let's go to blood pressure. This is a this is a number one killer, or actually around the world, especially in the United States and the UK. A normal blood pressure range is 120 over 80, okay? Now, for those who want to know, the top number usually is a measurement of the pressure from when the heart contracts. And the second, the lower number is the blood pressure when the number for the blood pressure when the heart is relaxed. So if your heart is contracting at 120 or below, but not too low, because too low, low blood, hypotension is not as good as hypertension, okay? So low blood pressure is nothing to be proud of, okay, because it can cause a lot of problems like dizziness, fainting, weakness, you're tired all the time, but also if you have low iron, you could be tired. So a blood cell analysis, and Celestial Healing does do blood cell analysis, will help determine what's going on with you and your blood. Borderline blood pressure is 140 over 90. And high blood pressure is 160 over 100. Okay, so anything higher than that, anything higher, 160, higher than 100 is considered high blood pressure. And I want to talk real quick about the heart rate, and then we're going to go into the blood pressure into detail. I think it's important that everybody deal with their heart rate. I didn't realize how important this is until I became a personal trainer. And personally, this really tells how healthy you are as a person. A heart rate, let me just tell you this, if you want to test your heart rate, you can do it on your wrist or you can do it on your neck. And this is how you measure your heart rate. You take your first two fingers and you press them on the side of your neck just below your jawbone and halfway between your ear and chin until you feel a strong heartbeat. But make sure you don't press too hard, because some experts believe that pressing hard on your neck can slow down your pulse. So just lightly touch that area until you can feel a heartbeat. And then look at a clock, and once that second hand if that second hand, the hand that runs the seconds, once it goes to zero or at the top, start counting your heartbeats. So start counting the beats in your neck or your neck. Now, there's two ways of doing it. You can count until one minute has passed, or you can count up to 15 seconds, and you can take those the beats within those 15 seconds and multiply it by 4. And the number you get is the beats per minute is your blood pressure, it's your BPM, which is your heart rate, okay? So, because I'm very active, I lift weights. I'm also into martial arts. I do, very good cardio. I love to be active. My heart rate is at 45. One more thing. I got to say this before. This is very important. You have to do this when you're resting. You want to use these numbers according to your resting rate. So these numbers are not applicable for those who just finished running or those who have been excited, like if they watch something very scary on TV. Usually you sit in a room, very quiet, peaceful, sit there for a good 3-4 minutes, and then go ahead and take your pulse and time your beats per minute, your BPM, and see what numbers you come up. And when I'm at my rest rate, my heart rate is at 45 beats per minute. So if you're an athlete, now this is pretty low for people Don't if you, just don't worry about this if you're not an athlete. If you're an athlete or someone who is very, very active physically, your BPM is supposed to be between 40 and 60. So since mine is 45, I'm right in that athletic zone, okay? If you're not an athlete, but just a normal person, just your average person, a normal BPM, which is your heart rate, a normal heart rate is between 50 and 90. And anything higher than 90 is considered a high heart rate. And if you have a high heart rate, then chances are you have high blood pressure. So something's going on with your blood pressure if your heart rate is 90 and above, and that's your resting heart rate. A lot of times people are misdiagnosed with having high blood pressure. I think I've done a show on this before where I talk about how doctors misdiagnose people with high blood pressure. And this has happened to several of my clients who were in the hospital waiting for their doctors to see them and get called. And they've been waiting for like 2 or 3 hours, knowing that they have to go to work soon. And all of a sudden, the stress of sitting there, the anxiety of sitting there and waiting, filling his paperwork out, you know, not being called yet, you know, watching other people suffer and sniffle and cough and looking at something crazy on the television, because, of course, you know, when you're in those waiting rooms, anything could be on the television. And this is going to make your heart rate rise up, and it's going to cause you to have elevated blood pressure. So you're in the waiting room, and you're pissed, and you've got to go to work, and they just now calling you, and you got an hour to get to work, and you know you're not going to make it there at that time. So, you know, you have that stress of either coming in late or not coming at all. And all of a sudden they take your blood pressure, and your blood pressure is like 145 over 92, and they were like, "Woo, you got high blood pressure." No joke. Really? You think? And it's not that you have this type of reading on an everyday basis. If you are under certain type of situations, your blood pressure is going to be elevated. I know from personal experience. First of all, let it be known, I don't like hospitals. So even if I'm coming to visit someone on call, whether a family has sent for me to come to the hospital to tend to a loved one, as soon as I get into the hospital parking lot, my heart rate is going up, and so is my blood pressure, because I don't like hospitals. And if a doctor was to take my blood pressure reading, it will be probably in the borderline area too. Does that mean I have high blood pressure? Does that mean I'm at risk for blood pressure? No. Because if you take it any other day, every day, where I'm not in a hospital, it's going to be 120 over 80. Every time, I'm going to have a normal blood pressure. So if you are pregnant and you're about to go, that's another thing. Ladies, how do you think you're going to have a normal blood pressure because you were in labor? I mean, that's another thing. They give women blood pressure medication because as soon as they gave birth to a child, they take the blood pressure. I mean, you've got to laugh at it, because if you see it from what I'm seeing it, you will realize this is some ridiculous stuff. Okay? This is what I say. If you're in a comfortable environment, and I highly suggest you invest in a meter that tests your, not only does it test your heart rate, but it also tests your blood pressure. Totally, totally agree to get those. Please get those, okay? Now, if you're at home and you just, if you're not in an argument, you're not stressed, you're not watching something really violent or crazy or sad on TV, you're just, let's say for instance, you're listening to one of Dr. Keela's radio episodes. Take your blood pressure. Take it in the morning, and then take it in the evening when you are rested. And compare both readings, okay? If your blood pressure is normal both times, then you can rest assured, regardless of what happens in a hospital, you have normal blood pressure, okay? Because let me just tell you what is the cause of blood pressure, high blood pressure. High blood pressure is strictly diet and stress. Diet and stress is the reason why people have high blood pressure. If you are known to be excitable, let people bother you, let people stress you out, and then you eat foods high in salt, high in MSG, very low water intake, you've set yourself up for high blood pressure. And even though exercise will help everybody, when it comes to high blood pressure, you really have to really get your water intake up there. You have to understand that your body is mostly water. And a lot of times I've noticed when people who have high blood pressure, they don't drink a lot of water. They don't hardly drink any water at all. And they consider that, like, oh, I drink two glasses of what size? If you drink 2 6-ounce glasses of water and you weigh 220 or 190, you're doing nothing for the body. And this is why pharmaceutical drugs that are geared for lowering the blood pressure cause water retention. And every time you're on blood pressure medication, you're either prescribed water retention pills or water retention medication factors are added in the drug that is for high blood pressure. So it's a high blood pressure / water retention pill. And people who don't drink water will hold water. People who drink adequate amount of water, and you know how you're supposed to deal with your water. You're supposed to take your, how much water you're supposed to drink. You're supposed to take your body weight and divide it in half. So divide it by 2, and the ounces, the answer that you come up is the answer in ounces of how much water you're supposed to drink. So if you're drinking that and more, you will not hold water. People who don't drink their adequate amount of water will have water retention. And then when you have the high blood pressure medication, which by default causes water retention, you try to drink more water, it will flush it out and basically think you're playing, and then you hold even more water. You know, when you start drinking water and you're on high blood pressure medication, you have to give the body a week to, I'll say 7 to 10 days to adjust to you actually drinking water and you're not playing. Because the body's going to say, oh, she just playing. Let's just go ahead and store this water because we may never know when we're going to get this again. So just adhere to that. You also should, I highly suggest that you deal with foods that will lower the blood pressure. Let me tell you some foods that will help lower the blood pressure. Apples, avocados, bananas, broccoli, essential fatty fish like salmon, grouper, Maui Maui, orange ruffy, tilapia. Grapes really will lower the blood pressure, actually. They are very good for you. Oaks and orange juice, but not the concentrated orange juice. Try to get it fresh as possible. But the biggest thing that will help lower your blood pressure is water, okay? Also, flax oil and fish oil. Now, when you get fish oil, let me tell you, because everybody's getting fish oil, they're not getting the right dosage. When you get fish oil, make sure it's 1,000 milligrams per soft gel. I'm not finished, though. Make sure that the fish oil has EPA of 600 milligrams or more, and a DHA is 400 milligrams or more. If you find a fish oil, like I love salmon oil, so I will buy my salmon oil, and my salmon oil for every soft gel is 1,000 milligrams, and it contains 600 milligrams of EPA and 400 milligrams of DHA. If it doesn't have that, throw it in the garbage can, okay? Because it's not going to do you any good. And the number one herb that is good for lowering the blood pressure is garlic and parsley with what? What's my favorite? Cayenne pepper. That's right. Garlic, parsley, cayenne will lower, these are herbs that will lower the blood pressure. And I'm not saying that you take these herbs and go out there and eat hog mugs and bacon and pork rinds and big old hamburgers every day and think you're going to have your blood pressure lowered and still stress out over stuff you can't control. It's not going to do you any good, okay? So leave those crazy stuff alone. And leave stuff alone that's going to raise the blood pressure. Caffeine will raise the blood pressure, okay? We already know high salty foods will raise the blood pressure, as well as foods that are high in saturated fat and hydrogenated oils, okay? Even partially hydrogenated vegetable oils will raise the blood pressure. And daggone it, if I got 5 more minutes to finish this segment, see, time goes by when you're having fun educating everybody about stuff that's going to make them healthy. So now I'm down to 4 minutes. Okay, anyway, let me just see if I can sum this up because I don't want to go over time. Because I had some more other stuff to say, but I guess it's just not meant for me to say it. Maybe I'll do a part 2. If you guys want me to do a part 2 on cholesterol and blood and high blood pressure, please do. Okay, so let me get with the stress. Because remember what I stated. It's diet and stress that raises the blood pressure. So when you're high in stress, we have some herbs that will calm you down, like chamomile tea. Oh, and of course, let me just get the legal stuff out the way. Please consult your doctor before taking any type of herbal medication suggested on this show. Anyway, you take chamomile tea. It's good for lowering the blood pressure as well. Passion flower will knock some people out. When I say knock some people out, meaning if you have problems going to sleep, passion flower is the thing to do, is the herb to drink. I like to drink these calming herbs in tea form. But because passion flower has such a sedative type of reaction, I only use a little bit of passion flower in case I have a high stressful day. And can you believe it or not, high quantities of vitamin C will also create a relaxing effect in the body. So, you know, those are the things that you can do, and also get a lot of rest, yeah, because if you're stressed and you're worried about things, it's going to affect your sleep. So, hey, just turn the computer and your head off, go to sleep, and just realize that sleep comes first, and you'll deal with your issues the next day because they'll be waiting for you until you solve them. Okay, let me conclude this. As you know, there's no way of getting around these illnesses without dealing with your diet, or shall I say, without dealing with your eating regimen. You have to deal with that. You have to find some type of way of getting exercise into your life. Make this a lifestyle, not something you're doing for just a few weeks and that's it. Make this something where you want to do this for the rest of your life. Trust me. You want to have a quality of life. Don't worry about, oh, I want to live till I'm 90. You don't want to be living till you're 90 wearing diapers and on 15 different medications, do you? You know, you want to live long where you are pharmaceutical free and you're independent and you're not a burden on anyone, including yourself. This is Dr. Keela. I'm going to close the show now because I am under 1 minute. If you would like to suggest a topic for a future show, please feel free to email me. You can go to our website at healingpowerhour.com. That's healingpowerhour.com and email me there. Or you can call me at our office, our wellness center, Monday through Saturday at 770-603-0141. Thank you so much for tuning in to Healing Power Hour Radio. And stay tuned for episode 20. I have no idea what that's going to be about. But I'm sure it's going to be something educational and informative and something that's going to help you obtain a nice, healthy lifestyle. This is Dr. Keela, and as I leave you like I came in, I leave you with the blessings of peace, love, health, happiness, and prosperity. Everyone, please, by all means, have a great day and a beautiful and wonderful tomorrow. Take care. God bless.